Hello, Kim.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. It's really a pleasure and an honor having you. And really thank you actually so much for being open and volunteering to share your story, to share a little bit about your journey, because I do think it's quite vulnerable to speak about it. It is very, very private, and we are not walking around, right, and telling everyone, oh, I'm struggling with binge eating and bulimia and those kind of things. It is a very, very private, I guess, suffering and personal as well. So that's why to have you here and sharing your journey, sharing your story, I think it's incredibly powerful. And I really hope that everyone who is listening to your story, to your journey, will feel also just as inspired and motivated to, yeah, seek out help, support, and also really so believing in themselves, knowing I can get out of this, I can get through it. So thank you and welcome.
My pleasure. Thank you. And that's why I'm doing it, really. Yeah, just taking my voice back and making it not so shameful. And yeah, just if my story can help even just one person out of this, that's, yeah, it'll be worth it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. So let's start with maybe giving a little bit of background about your I guess your story, a little bit about what is it that you struggled or are struggling or have struggled with. Kind of when did it begin? So a little bit of history and background, so everyone who's listening, they can I guess get to know that part.
Okay. Well, I've been struggling for over 20 years, I'd say, on and off. Started in my mid to late teens, being a teenage girl, body image, all that kind of stuff. Just wasn't happy. And then also had family members that struggled with weight as well. I was a bigger girl. And really didn't like it. And I didn't want to be struggling with it, with my weight, but then also on the other side of now I'm struggling with something else. So yeah, at my worst it was really bad. It was like up to 10 times a day.
And we're talking about binge eating and purging, right?
That's correct, yeah. And doing it even after what would be considered a normal sized meal, not just doing the binging, but just a normal meal, still didn't like that feeling of fullness, or the feeling of things in my stomach. And so yeah, that was me for, I say on and off, like there would be parts that I'd be able to stop because I wasn't so far in it then. But it was on for the most part. And that in 2009 for low potassium and like the onset of renal failure due to it. So, and even that didn't stop me. That didn't scare me enough to stop it completely. And still continued after being let out of hospital, which is just thinking back on that is just absolutely unfathomable. Like, knew I was risking my life and couldn't stop it because it's just a compulsive sort of behavior, and so ingrained in my life that it was just part of my routine. So yeah, carried on, obviously, and it was only this year, just over 3 months ago, really, that I finally made the decision, like turning 40 next year, I want to get a handle on this, and just looking up online, trying to find something, and came across your page, Eugenia, and I'm so completely thankful that I did. Like someone was guiding me to your page, because you've just been unreal. Talking through with someone who's been there and just getting a different perspective on everything, just has just been like completely different experience this time around, trying to stop or recover, get better. Yeah, so that was basically my story, the background.
So back then when it started, you mentioned that you were a bigger girl. Is that so? What happened? What do you find? What triggered it back then for you? What is it that you were trying to achieve, maybe?
When it's like being in control of something, I can control that. Obviously, I didn't like being a bigger girl. I wasn't a healthy bigger girl. And my mum struggled with her weight, and still does to this day. I think I just wanted to be thinner, smaller. I wanted to see a smaller number on the scale, smaller number in my clothes, and would do anything to get it, basically. And because I played sport all my life, and then I like stopped at 14, and then I piled on the weight because I wasn't doing any sport. So that's when that happened. And then when I started getting bigger, obviously wanted to lose it at any cost. So that's when I started. And at that time, there was like forums online, which were just shocking. So
is that forums online, like how to
what to do, what you can do to get the stuff out of you, and I was happy to have come across that, but looking back I was like, man,
of course,
how that could be on there is just sad. Really sad.
Okay, so kind of like came across information, right? And you know, really without any judgment, looking back, I mean, I know it's crazy things we were doing. Like I remember I was taking pills that reduced my appetite. That's kind of like, you know, obviously there are still pills that reduce appetite. That's not the issue. The issue was that I from my memory, they came somewhere from Asia, maybe China, I don't quite remember. But what they did is my heart rate was so fast. I was shaky all the time, but I wasn't hungry. So obviously looking back now, I would never do anything like that, right? Because I don't know what it was doing to my heart. But that's the thing, that's what we did. We did crazy things. We didn't think about health, because that drive to be thin, that was everything. That was overriding any other judgment. Right?
You don't have to do it without, you'd think there'd be no consequences, but I mean, you're young and you do other things without thinking about consequences. So why is that not different? It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So that was your way basically to lose weight, right? Mm-hmm. To reduce weight. So that's when the purging started. What about binge eating? Did you start binge eating immediately, or kind of how came that
together? I think it came hand in hand. Like I would, because you get the feeling of hunger and you just need to try and suppress it with food, really. I think they would have started around the same time. And I'd never binge without a purge. So it always, was a hand in hand.
Yeah, and also what you said there, that's what I find as well. It is a way to control, right? And then also when we see that we can actually, I guess, like get rid of the consequence of binge eating, that's when it also, I guess, unfortunately, quite often that feeds then the cycle, knowing what we think, well, there is no consequence. I can do whatever you want because I can get rid of it. So that went on for obviously many years, and you said it was like on and off. What helped you to stop it at times or reduce it? What was it kind of that led you to do it?
I think it's different to what I've done now, because what I'm doing now is helping. I think it was just exercising. If I ever ate anything, it would be excessively exercising, which again was another not so healthy thing to do, well, not healthy at all to do. Just switching one addiction with another, basically. Which is completely, completely unhealthy. So yeah, it would be that back then.
It's another form of purging, by the way, as well. That's what we see too. Okay, so again, like trying to have control by doing anything that's extreme. And when you were like over exercising, is that when you were binge eating as well?
No, that would just be normal, or even trying to avoid
eating.
So yeah, covered the whole spectrum.
And that's what happens, and that's what happens, right? We look for different ways of controlling. Okay, so that went on, like I said, for like 20 years or so. And obviously, like you've mentioned, there was a hospital and like a really consequence when it came to health. And then 3 months ago, that's when you reached out. And from, I guess my question would have been, what is it that made you decide to reach out?
Just the pending birthday, the big 40. Also just I'd had enough, really. I'd had enough. I was done. I didn't want to live that life anymore, and I knew I wanted to be better for myself, for my kids, and for my husband. Because it really affects your moods doing what I'm doing. And I didn't want to be that grumpy, have no energy kind of mum. Didn't want that at all, and I didn't want my kids to go through that at all. So just having enough, being fed up, being done.
What other consequences did you notice? Like, how else did it affect your life? You talk about mood. What else?
I'd have no energy. I'd have no drive. It would, affect my relationships with people. It's a very, it's a shameful kind of feeling that you would have all the time, because it's secrets. Like, my big thing is, like, I hate secrets, but here I am keeping this massive one. Just felt yuck. My husband knew I'd had struggles previously, but he doesn't know the full extent. So he knows about my hospitalization, and then once I'd reached out to you, I decided to tell him about it, which was massive, absolutely massive, to just saying it to someone that I love. It was such a release and a relief off my shoulders. It was like a burden that's been lifted. And that's another reason why I'm talking about it now. Because I'd mentioned to you saying that I just want to give myself a voice and try and take away the shame and take away the embarrassment and just kind of own it. That's my past. I'm owning it. It's not something to be shameful about. It's and when you suggested this, I was like, well, okay, that would actually be a way to do it without saying it to people's faces. I'm just saying it to yours.
Yeah.
And I will work through getting like through the rest of my family if and when I decide to. But this is I feel better than at the beginning of it when we first started the podcast. I was a bit shaky, but now having laid it all out, it's quite cathartic and therapeutic. Just like a weight lift off and something that you shouldn't have to be carrying around. And it's like, well, there's you got one life, so you should live it to the fullest, which like people say it all the time, and it's like you have to believe in it for it to actually resonate with you. And there's no, you shouldn't have to suffer. Suffering is just, and it's unnecessarily suffering. Not that we choose to do this. There's no choice made. If I could make a choice, I wouldn't do it. But it's just taking the power back for myself and not being so burdened with it. Yeah. Massive.
Absolutely, and suffering, particularly in silence, right?
Yeah.
You're on your own, and you believe you're on your own. And quite often, I hear people saying, I thought I'm the only one that's crazy, that's doing these things. And then when we start opening up, we start seeing actually there are so many other people who are experiencing the same, very similar, or are struggling with other things as well. So we are no longer, we no longer feel alone, because we are not alone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you open up to your husband, and it was the first time, like, he knew something was going on, but obviously not in detail, like you said. So you opened up to him. How did he respond?
He just hugged me. And he said, I don't know how to help. Like, I don't know. I've never experienced it. So he just said, you don't have to tell me like all the details. Just like, you just let me know what you want me to do. If there's anything I can do. And I just said, just be there. And if I want to talk, I'll talk. If I don't, then just give me hugs. Just been my biggest supporter, and it's been incredible. And I know I'm incredibly lucky to have a supportive partner, because I know a lot of people don't. And if people don't, then I suggest just trying to find, even if it's somebody online, someone anonymous, like just speaking about it to somebody, saying those words out loud, it actually does help. And I never thought I would say that, but just releasing it is a massive, massive step.
And get rid of that shame. Right, because that's heavy.
It is extremely
heavy to carry.
10 times lighter. because you're just letting it out. Yeah, because it wants you to feel shame. It wants you to, like, that the illness, disease, whatever you want to call it, it thrives on you feeling that way. And I want to thrive by myself without it.
So and then you shared it with him. I really love his response, right? How can I help? Because I don't know. And that's really honest. Instead of trying to give some advice, quite often, unfortunately, what I hear is, well, just stop.
Just
stop. Well, just eat, or just don't do it. If it was that easy, we wouldn't be here, right? So such a beautiful response from him. I can't relate, and I don't know how it is. And then also, how can I help as well, right? So that's what I actually quite often, parents ask me, how can I help my daughter or my son? What can I do? Because not everyone has experienced it. And I always ask questions. Just ask, how can I help? That's all, because sometimes we don't know how we can help until we ask, because it also depends on the situation, right? It depends on the person. So I really love the way he responded. Okay, and then you reached out and you said it was different. So what was it that was different for you?
Speaking with someone who had gone through it and is out the other side, and just seeing that you understood what I was saying, like you, and then just giving me a different perspective on how to look at things, that certain things, if I get triggered by certain things, like how to look at those things in a different way. Also got myself a coloring book and really nice coloring pencils, because I found boredom is a trigger for me, and I can't just be doing nothing. If I've got that nothing feeling in me, then it's just like I've got to fill that void. So I had to think of ways other than what I would revert to fill that void. So yeah, doing coloring in, just like the mandala pictures and like inspiring phrases I've got in like the books that I bought. Also doing exercise, even just getting out for a walk for 5 or 10 minutes, just the fresh air. It's amazing how much fresh air just does wonders for your mood. Just refreshing, and just taking deep breaths in and releasing, like I said, doing the deep breath in, but also pushing that breath out. So you're releasing that negativity or whatever's going on, frustration. And also meditating, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes again, just sitting down, headphones in, or just having it on, just finding a quick video on YouTube, even if it's just a song, if it's a meditation video, would help as well. And just putting on dance music that I used to listen to in my 20s and just rocking out with my kids, just start the day with a dance party, you're always going to have a good day. So well, not always, but it does help. Starts you off good to continue that. So yeah, all these things together, like using them all together, whatever, just checking in with myself. And like, if I don't want to do that thing I was going to do today, just sitting down, asking myself, what do I want to do? And just going from there. And if it's like, I don't feel like vacuuming today, well, I'm not going to. So I don't want to, not feeling pushed to do a certain thing. Just going with the flow, which is hard for me a little bit, because I think I do like the control not like controlling situations or controlling people, just if I feel out of control, it's not a nice feeling for me. And yeah, just checking in with yourself. Like, it's almost like you treat yourself like your best friend. Like, if your best friend was going through this, how would you want to help? Like, you'd want to help, you'd want to be there. So checking in, seeing how you're feeling that day. Like, it all sounds so, like, when you're at the beginning of it, if I thought about what I was saying now, it would be like, oh, come on. Like, what? All this new age stuff. Like,
eerie fairy.
Eerie fairy. But it's like, it does, like, it takes time, and it's not an overnight thing. And I'm still not 100%. But I know, like, I feel so much better in myself now than I did when I started. Going back, I'd like cry every session we had for a bit. And then you just get to a point where it's like good feelings in yourself attract good things. Like, if you think negative thoughts, like, everything's always going to be negative. So you just need to, even just a little bit a day, changing something, doing something that makes you happy, having that piece of chocolate, or having that piece of pizza, or just turning your binge foods into something that you can just enjoy without obviously going too far. Like, not having foods that are off limits, I think, is a big thing as well. Just totally changed direction on that, but it just came into my head. It's helped, because I had an issue with pasta. So now I will cook with my kids, and I will eat with my kids. And the stuff that I used to binge on, I now enjoy in smaller portions. That's also been another major helpful thing for me as well. So
what we did there is introducing, because what I tried to find out was, what is the food that you binge on? And then potentially kind of like, what's the reason for it? And if that's the food that is like part of your regular diet, right? So like, let's say pasta for the kids, that's when we said, well, how about you actually just going to join them and eat with your children, right? So it's giving yourself permission to eat the food that you binge on, so we take that secret of eating out of it.
Eating around people, that was a big one for me, even my kids.
Absolutely. It's taking that secret out of it and sharing the experience, so basically normalizing food. So we were focusing on normalizing food by reintroducing it, by eating with other people, by sharing that experience, right? No more secretive eating, no more hiding, because I think that's kind of what feeds the cycle as well. Oh, I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, right? Is that carrying that shame as well? You also then mentioned
something that's been a massive help for me.
Yes, and we noticed the difference as well, right? We have a little bit of the reception seems to be not quite strong. And then you also mentioned something of checking in with yourself. This is where, so to give everyone a little bit of background, how it came about and what it was about. Again, a lot of the tips, a lot of the strategies that we discussed were because we were always looking into the root cause. What was the cause for, what was the trigger that led to the binge, right? And then I started looking into, okay, if that is the trigger, if that is what's causing it, what are other ways to, I guess, navigate that trigger, or can we eliminate the trigger? Can we reduce it? Can we manage it in a different way? And we found out that one of the triggers for you was also avoiding a task that you felt like you should be doing.
Yeah.
So let's say, as an example, I know I have to, I don't know, I don't think you said that, but let's say I have to clean the bathroom. Yeah, something like that. But there is a part of you that just doesn't want it right this moment. And then what happens is when we try to avoid that task, we then go and binge or eat food because it gives us, I guess, time to avoid the tasks. It also gives us an opportunity to create pleasure instead of pain, right? So I always talk about how our brain is wired to seek out pleasure and to avoid pain. And when I say pain, obviously cleaning bathroom doesn't create pain. But if it's uncomfortable, if that's not what I want to do, so I will try to avoid that. And if that's something that we've learned over time, that food does that for us, it's a great way to avoid. It's a great way to procrastinate, right? Because and also specifically, if a binge actually is combined with a purge, it takes time. There is this procedure to go through, right? So it's a way to avoid that task that you don't want to do. Right this moment. It's not about that you never, like I said, I don't think you brought up that example.
No.
It's not about that you never clean your bathroom. It's just that in that moment, that's right. At that time, like, I don't know. So what we then did is we started looking into, well, what would feel better for me right now? If, let's say, I don't want to clean the bathroom right this moment, what would feel good? What is it that I would like to do that would feel more comfortable for me? So this is where we talked about the checking in.
Yeah.
And it could even be that you said, well, instead of cleaning the bathroom, I actually feel like doing a little bit of garden work because I feel like going outside, right? Or you might feel like, I actually, instead of doing this, I feel like maybe going for a walk or going for a run or something like that. So that's where we talked about the checking in. Now tell me, how did that help you to reduce the binges then?
I suppose it took away like the responsibility. Like if I needed to do something, and I didn't want to do it, I'd get like frustrated and be like, oh, I don't really want to do this. So then that would trigger the binge. But just taking the time, because even checking in with yourself is taking that time away from doing the binge and purge. So and just thinking through it. And just being in tune with yourself. It's hard to explain it. Giving yourself the time to be. Like you don't always have to be doing something, but I feel like I always have to be doing something. Just giving yourself the time and the space that you need to, listen to yourself, your inner voice to, just knowing it's okay to take that time for yourself. It's not selfish to be checking in with yourself.
It also, what happens there is you are also learning not to react to the trigger immediately. We don't need to react to everything. It's like anything in our lives, like let's say my arm is itching, something like that. And I can observe the itch without actually scratching.
Yeah.
Or in our lives, maybe you look at the windows and think, ugh, they should be cleaned. But you're not immediately jumping up
to do it.
To do yeah. it, right? You yeah. just look at the yeah. window and think, yeah, no. It should get done. But sometimes months can go by yeah. without actually cleaning yeah. those windows.
Doing it.
Yeah, so there were a lot of moments in our lives where we don't react.
Yeah.
And part of the binge eating and purging, particularly binge eating or food in general, is learning not to respond to every urge.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can observe the urge and just say, yeah, like cleaning the windows.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then what you're doing is you're also what you did instead of, let's say, just only observing, you checked in because you changed what you focused on, like yeah. changing what you were focusing on, which is how do I actually feel? Like mm-hmm. what's going on for me? What would feel better for me? So it gives you also a way of distracting yourself.
Distracting, yeah.
Yeah. Although I'm not a fan of the word distracting, because I know that there are a lot of tools, like a lot of suggestions, go and have a hot bath, go walk, and that can help. But I find just distracting is not a strategy.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really important that we go deeper and understand the urge and understand the need. What is the need that I'm trying to meet with the binge? Right, and this is where we were going with it. That's mm-hmm. why some of the strategies, while it might sound like it's airy fairy, and you know, just do a meditation, it's not mm-hmm. about just the meditation.
No,
right? It's about understanding what are my actual needs, what are the needs that I'm meeting with my binges,
mm-hmm.
And how can I meet those needs in a different way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why your strategies are quite unique to your situation.
Yeah.
That's why I find there are a lot of books out there, and there are a lot of sort of online resources. And while it might sound like they're all generic, I think it's really, really important that we always look into what are your triggers personally, so we can address your specific triggers and then look into the specific tools and strategies that are managing your personal triggers.
Yeah, there's definitely no one size fits all for everyone. So it's definitely about your own individual triggers and things to go from that. But yeah, a lot of the tools from that, doing the drawing with the colours, working out what feelings you get from binging and purging and how you can do something else to get that same feeling or better. Because I do feel better after going for a walk than I do after binging and purging, so it's a better feeling. Been huge.
That's actually that's a reminder. That's how we got to the painting, to the drawing as well, right? Mm-hmm. What we did, I did an exercise to understand for you and for me, what do you get out of binge eating and purging? Mm-hmm. What feeling, like, let's say, instead of, I'll come back to that example. Okay, I feel like I should be cleaning my bathroom, but I don't want to, so I go binge and purge. What is the feeling that comes up?
Mm-hmm.
What do I get out of it, right? What needs does it meet, and how do I feel? What do I get out of it?
Yeah.
So when we drew that out, then I started looking into other ways, like when I ask you, when do you get similar feelings mm-hmm. in your life? What are the activities that you do when you get similar feelings, similar sensations? It won't be exactly the same, because it just can't, but similar enough. And that's where you gave me a list of different things. This is when I feel actually something similar. So that's when we started looking into, okay, if this is what you get, how about you try these things then? And that's how the paint, the drawing, the coloring in came about. That's how the running came about as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like you like being active.
Yeah.
That's why those tools. And again,
worked for me. Yeah.
It worked for you because it made sense, because that's what you were looking for in terms of that feeling,
yeah.
Right? If someone doesn't get that similar feeling through, let's say, coloring in, that's not going to help them.
No.
Yeah.
Find their own one.
Yeah, because that's not what they're looking for. That's not the feeling that they are trying to get and are looking for.
Yeah.
So that's why, it's like that individualistic approach is real, real, really important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we did. We worked through the different triggers that you've experienced throughout this time. We've been working together for 3 months, and that was really always our approach. What's the trigger? What's the need? What's the one? How can we get it in other ways? And then repetition, right? Yeah. And then repetition. You went away, and that was your homework to repeat that. And I really want to acknowledge, and I know that I've said that a few times, but I really want to acknowledge that again. It worked because you did the work.
Yeah.
You went away. Next time when we met, I always heard from you saying, I did this, I did that, I did that.
Yeah.
You did what we discussed, and that's what pays off.
Yeah, it's and it's even just little things. So you have to acknowledge the little wins that you get. They're not always going to be big wins, but just the little wins that you get throughout the day, throughout the week. And I found journaling actually helped with that as well. Just so I can look back at like the start of this process journey. And just seeing how far I've come in such a short space of time, and seeing that it wasn't all 100%. Like there were days when like weren't great, but other days they were great. And there were not every day is a good day, but there's good in every day. It's one of my favorite quotes now. I love that, because that's normal. People without these kind of issues do have good days and bad days. So that it's completely normal to have ups and downs. And just knowing that that's normal, but they're like normal in quotation marks. Yeah. But journaling, I dabbled in it throughout the years and I never really got into it much, but it's definitely helped, this process for me. Thinking I've had a bad day and then just reading back through and be like, oh, actually, I did this, this, and this. Just writing your feelings down. And it initially started with my food intake and things, and the amount of binges I had. And then eventually it got away from that, and it was just about the feelings I felt, or just different things. So, and it evolves as I go, and I might go back to putting my food intake down and stuff, but it's just, it's been quite a therapeutic process as well with the journaling. So even if you feel naff doing it, like I think it's a good place to start, and getting it out on paper, you're still getting it, you're still releasing it, and then you can even, once you've finished, like read it out loud, and that just like puts it out there even more. And it's just, little by little, the kind of shame drifts away. Like I don't feel shame about it anymore, because I've taken away its strength. So it's been an amazing process that is still going on, and I will continue to be dealing with it, but I don't want to say struggle, because it's not going to be a struggle anymore. I'm past that stage. And I'm just looking forward to turning 40, being a healthier version of myself than I was at my previous birthday. So it's been an awesome experience. Yeah.
I love how you use the word release.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very conscious of that choice.
Yeah.
Of that you're choosing that word, because I remember when I asked you what do you get from purging, you always said release.
Yeah.
Relief and release. And so when you went, and again, it's going back to what do you get from it, right? And now I hear you saying, when I journal, when I write that out, I get that release.
Same.
It's another way, almost like it's another way to purge out what's going on for you inside.
Yeah. It's a completely accurate description. It is a purge without the binge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my thing. I did the binge to get the purge in this way. It's a different purge, but a much better release, because I feel not defeated afterwards.
And such a healthy way to do that as well, right? That's really looking in. And that's kind of like, I feel like we're connecting the dots now here. It's looking inside yourself to look, what is it that I'm thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I'm feeling? And quite often, it's in yoga, we talk about it. We need to be quiet to start hearing the voices, the thoughts, the beliefs, the knowing inside ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? We have to get quiet
mm-hmm.
to hear. So, and that's what you are doing, that we are doing through journaling. It's taking that moment to look inside yourself, to connect with yourself, to really, because a binge is also ultimately a way for us to escape, to distract ourselves from what's going on. Yeah. So here, instead of escaping and distracting, you are actually diving right deep into it and saying, you know what, actually, what's going on here?
Yeah. Taking a time is huge.
Awesome. So where are things now?
They're great. Not 100%,
mm-hmm.
but I had one slip up in the last 2 weeks, which is good
mm-hmm.
for me, and I take that as a win. And looking back on my journals, I can see what the trigger was for that. So that's another thing which helps to kind of drill into the different triggers I have, and then work on my reactions to them. That's the big thing, especially if it's people that affect me, thinking of different ways to react to what they're doing or not doing. And yeah, it's continually working on yourself. Like, you're a project and you've got things you need to do, and well, not need to do, but there's things that you can do to work on yourself. And it's just being your best friend, as naff as that sounds, but giving yourself the time and knowing that that's okay and it's not selfish. And you're just going to be better off for it, and the people around you will notice, and it's just a better environment all around.
Yes, I love your perspective and your approach, right? So when we compare it again to where it was when we started, like I said, it happens a few times a day, right?
Yeah.
To once in fortnight in 2 weeks, it's massive.
Yeah.
Right? It's such a massive difference. And also, in addition to not just only the frequency that has really reduced so massively, also it doesn't continue, it doesn't trigger further binge eating and purging. And also what I find really, really powerful, and that's always my focus, is that you are fully empowered. Mm-hmm. You know what triggers it, you know what to do, you know, you, I guess for me, it's always important that at some point I can leave.
Yeah.
And you have all the knowledge to just be on your own. You've got the confidence, you've got the knowledge, you know all the tools and strategies, and you know exactly how to apply those.
Yeah.
So you never rely on other people. Although I guess I don't want to say it like that. I think it's important to get help and support sometimes. Yeah. But I guess what's really important for me is that I don't make people rely on me, right? So when, let's say, and this is where we are, after 3 months, I don't have a feeling, oh, I should probably, Kim, you know, we should probably work a bit longer. Yeah. I actually have a feeling, you know what? No, you're great. If you ever feel like you want one chat, because that might sometimes come up, get in contact with me. I would love to. But there is no feeling that I feel, oh my God, you just need me. You know, you need me. You need to continue this work. And I know that there are obviously like some companies that their marketing, that's their strategy, right? To continue business. That's not how I work.
So it's not the business you're in.
No. That's not how I want it. So for me, I really love what I'm hearing. I know the trigger. I got the journal. I know what to do. And this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's going to be people listening that are just starting, or they haven't even chosen to get help, and it's going to sound unattainable, but it's just the small things, and it does take time. Just know that you are not alone. How I thought I was at the beginning of this, and I mean, I was 20 years in, and I was able to turn it around. So there is always hope, and you just got to believe in yourself, and you got to just take control of that, and releasing it however you can, writing it down, talking to someone was the best start. Acknowledging the issue and taking that power away from it. Very, very grateful, and just continue to get better, knowing that I'm going to be the best mum and wife that I want to be, and the best version of myself, because it wasn't just for my family, it was for me. It's like a feeling tired all the time and grumpy. Just embracing life has been huge.
Good. I feel like this is a good place to finish the conversation as well. Is there anything you would like to add, finish off, anything that you would, and I know that you just, actually almost did that, anything that you would like to everyone who is listening to, like that last message or suggestion, advice, anything you would like to add?
I would just say you're worth it. You're worth the time and the energy. And you just need to make that decision. That's part of the hardest decision, is to make that decision that you want to change and get better. I don't like the word recovery, but it's the journey to recovery, journey to healing, even, just allowing yourself the space and the time, and just being a lot less tough on yourself. We're our own worst critic, but you need to turn that into being your best supporter. and just, yeah, give yourself the time because you're worth it. And life gets better. It does. Yeah. And you feel better.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, for being here, because like I said, I know, you know, how hard it was, and you were just sharing that with us as well. It is hard, and that first time opening up, like, oh, I remember that as well. I remember a friend of mine who challenged me to do that, and that was back then on Facebook, to put a post up, and I thought, oh my God. it is really, really scary, but it makes a huge difference when we do that. So thank you, Kim, for sharing, for opening up, for sharing, I guess, your journey, but also what has helped you and giving people hope.
Well, I hope I have, because it's, yeah, I hate to think that just how many people there are out there suffering with this that feel ashamed when they don't need to. And just, yeah, just give yourself that power back. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.